This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The back-to-school special continues. We're spending 9 Inside Douglas County programs talking to superintendents from around Douglas County. Superintendent Kate McLaughlin from the South Umpqua School District. And how are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
And just a little random football announcement. Your game got moved.
It did. That time of year, wildfire smoke. We were scheduled to play down in Phoenix, and that has been moved to South Umpqua.
And I wondered about that this morning as I was looking at some of the DEQ information. It seemed like it was awfully close to that border where they say, no, you can't do this.
Yeah, I know that Phoenix had been watching it really closely and were holding out hope that they could host a home game, but had to make a decision today, and so the game has been moved.
And as you heard earlier, same thing for the Douglas game as well. So, boy, a lot going on. Well, let's talk about how things are going as the new school year begins.
Well, if today's game switch is any indication, it's fast and furious, but we're glad to be back. It's nice to be starting a school year without all of the COVID restrictions and feel rested from the summer and ready to go.
So did you guys begin on Monday?
We started on the 29th, and we did a gradual entry, our kindergarten students and then our sixth graders and ninth graders, so that we kind of bring them in gradually so they can adjust to the new environment and get to know the staff.
So do you have any opening day or two glitches?
It was actually a smooth start as far as school goes. I mean, there's always things that come up, but I would say that the biggest challenge that we've faced so far has been our enrollment was higher than expected.
And, you know, it's one of the questions I've been asking folks. Some people are still under the pre-COVID levels, and there's been a bit of a shift there. So how do you, and you're not even past Labor Day yet, so you could have more students coming in.
We could. I think actually what usually happens at the beginning of the school year is you receive students that you weren't expecting, but then there are also some who maybe have moved over the summer, and we just don't have the paperwork processed yet or requests for records yet. So sometimes that enrollment will shift a little bit over the first 2 weeks.
Now, what often happens, well, or at least sometimes, is that you get this large group of students you weren't expecting. They don't necessarily feather out over every classroom and just add one or two kids. Sometimes you got to make some shifts.
We do, and we're keeping a really close eye. We have a couple of classrooms and a couple of grade levels that are higher numbers than we like to run. They're still manageable, but they are challenging.
What about students that sort of faded out during COVID? Did you have much of an issue with that? Because we've been hearing about that lots of other places.
Yeah, we've heard about that statewide. We really didn't experience a lot of that in South Umpqua. I think primarily because we were able to keep our doors open throughout the pandemic and offer families alternatives if they didn't feel safe being in person. But we were able to keep track of our student body pretty well.
And what about as you start the year off, do you have any new programs in particular, things going on?
Well, always lots of new things. I would say off the top of my head, we have a new English language arts curriculum that is being implemented, as well as a new social emotional learning curriculum. We have a new partnership with Umpqua Community College, which is a career connections program for our seniors to do some career exploration. And then we're continuing some of the programs that we've had some great success with, like our no fee to play for athletics and other activities.
Do you see more partnerships with UCC or with other groups likely?
I do. It's been really wonderful working with UCC the last year or two. New President Rachel has been meeting with superintendents regularly and really looking for ways to build that vertical pathway for students from high school into college, whatever their, or the trades, whatever their career pathway takes them.
What about new hires and leadership? Any changes like that?
We have a couple. I think the one the community would be most interested in is our new athletic director, Thomas Armstrong. He comes to us from the Eugene area, and before that, he worked in the college level at community college. So this is his first year, and tonight's the first football game. He wasn't expecting it at home, but he's been a great addition to our leadership team.
So this will be a good test today then.
I think so. Poor guy.
What about security issues? A lot of districts over the last few years have been looking at that. And as some of the federal dollars through various COVID programs came in to get to some things that hadn't been addressed yet, are you looking at that issue down there?
We're always looking at safety and security. And even before I joined the district 4 years ago, the school board had made great strides in implementing a badge entry system to all of the doors in the district and things like that. The board renewed their priority list for the 22-23 school year, and safety and security is one of the priorities for our facilities. So we've been doing an awful lot of work over the summer with our local law enforcement groups, Douglas County Sheriff's Office, Myrtle Creek Police, Cow Creek Tribal. In fact, they had representative officers come in from all three groups to do safety and security walkthroughs with our administrators before school began.
What about the aspect that I'm trying to remember which ones they are? You've got a couple schools, I think, that are pretty close to the freeway. Does that pose its own security issue?
Always, and that was one of the things we looked at during those safety walkthroughs, were areas that we might need to improve our perimeter fencing or our signage. Also areas that we can work with ODOT on, perhaps to increase safety around the edges of the freeway that are close to our schools.
Wow. Well, it's certainly been a big topic. Do you see it getting bigger as things go along? I mean, everybody seems to have some things they're working on now, but maybe even on the state level or from the federal level?
I hope so. I mean, there's been a lot of buzz around potential grant opportunities coming down from the federal level that would provide districts with funding to increase safety and security measures. And quite honestly, in our smaller districts, in our rural districts, where we don't have that funding base, that's really what's needed. The general fund that we're provided through the state does not include any monies for facilities or security upgrades.
And a lot of districts in our region have schools that are, you know, 50, 60 years old. You've got some that are older. And a lot of folks kind of went with this plan back then that was pretty open, and you had essentially multiple buildings that were all tied together. You could practically, or maybe in some cases literally, drive up to the door. Right. And while that worked for a long time, it doesn't seem to work anymore.
No, I call that the California style, where everything was open and open air. And it's really, it was very popular once upon a time, but it doesn't meet the safety needs of today. So we look at our buildings where we may have exterior walkways or hallways, and how can we enclose those? We look at our buildings that were not built with secure entry vestibules, and we're seeking ways to build those as well. And then our campuses that are spread out with multiple buildings, Coffinberry is a great example. We were able to leverage some federal funding to build a kitchen, cafeteria, and band room wing, which will allow all of our middle school students at Coffinberry to stay on their own campus rather than having to cross the street every day to get to the elementary school where they currently use the kitchen and cafeteria.
Superintendent Kate McLaughlin, South Umpqua School District. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It is 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1. Umpqua Valley Live looking at arts and entertainment at 4 o'clock. And on Tuesday, we're back to the Back to School series. And new superintendent Jeff Clark at the Oakland School District will be in with us. And Superintendent Kate McLaughlin of the South Umpqua School District in this afternoon. You were talking about having to move the football game due to the smoke, and that brings up the question with smoke and hotter weather and all of that. How is your district set with air conditioning, that sort of thing?
Well, like a lot of other districts in our area, we have buildings that are older and classrooms that are older and were never designed with air conditioning. And so the first few weeks of school are always challenging because those rooms get warm. And we've looked at alternatives for putting in portable air conditioning or wall units. And what we're running into is that the electrical infrastructure in those older buildings cannot support the load of multiple units running. So it's becoming a tradition now in the older buildings that the first couple of weeks those rooms are warm, and we continue to look for solutions for that.
And of course you've got the aspect, well, a couple of levels. First of all, how effective is learning when everybody is frankly sweating to death? Mm-hmm. And you've got a bunch of money in technology and computers, and that doesn't tend to be a good thing when they're that hot.
Right. Yeah, technology and humans don't do well when it's warm. We are looking at some temporary solutions to help alleviate that.
Do you have any idea what that's going to end up being?
Well, at this point, we're still looking into the portable air conditioning units and ways that we can bump up some of the electrical service to the areas that need it the most.
And one of the things right now, too, is, you know, our smoke level here isn't too bad today, at least since I looked outside last. But when you have those smoky situations, then you want to kind of close everything up, but you're closing everything up when it's hot.
Right. Yeah, it's a catch-22. No real great solution to it. And unfortunately, we go through this every year. So we're always looking for a better way of doing things.
So let's talk about shortages, one of the words of 2022. How are you guys doing? I mean, do you have all your positions filled?
We do. For our licensed staff, I think we were able to fill all but two positions, and we have long-term subs in those while we continue looking. I would say our classified staff, we still have quite a few openings. We're like every industry right now. In fact, we just worked with Douglas County Sheriff's Office to hire an SRO for the district. And it's challenging even for our local law enforcement agencies to provide these services because they're also understaffed. So we've worked really hard with retention and recruitment and trying to support our staff to the best of our ability.
And do you think that's going to become, in the next couple of years, maybe even more of an issue?
I don't know. It's hard to say. And I think that, you know, there's a difference between the metro areas and our smaller rural areas because we simply only have a finite number of people that we can draw from. And then when you layer on the qualifications and the licensure that's required to do some of these positions, it's even more challenging. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the next few years bring us.
What about, I don't remember how you guys handle school buses. How's that doing?
Well, we contract with First Student for our student transportation services. And they have, I can tell you, at least in our area, they've done a really great job of meeting our needs. It was very challenging during the pandemic when we had a lot of people out sick to fill those routes, especially for the extracurricular routes like athletics. But this year, we have all of our routes staffed and ready to go.
Going into the fall, let's back up and look at summer, first of all, because a lot of districts over the last couple of years, really kind of at the urging of folks given the pandemic, have offered some extra things in the summer? What did you guys do?
We had a very robust summer program at both the elementary and the middle school levels, well, and at high school as well. The elementary and middle school had a STEAM program, so they had a lot of science projects and hands-on activities for the kids. I was over there one day where they had built stomp rockets and were launching them. That was a lot of fun. So a lot of high engagement and high interest for our summer programs at the lower levels. At the high school level, we did a lot of credit recovery for our students who were needing that, as well as some enrichment opportunities as well.
Do you think the funding will be there to continue some of that?
I think that's a great question. The last 2 years, the state has provided funding for summer programs, specifically for summer programs. But there is no guarantee that that funding source will continue. We do, however, have some other grant resources that we can tap into and do some planning around that.
If you had to name one priority this year that's your biggest one, what do you think it would be?
Safety and security.
And we kind of have covered all of that. That seems to be at the top for a lot of people's list.
I think it's the day and age that we live in now. And, you know, if we have to have a safe and secure environment for our students to learn in and for our staff to work in order to reach the outcomes that we want.
So aside from that area, when you look at the long term down the road about things in the next few years you would like to see the district get to, what are some of those?
In the area of safety and security?
Well, no, just in any area.
Oh, well, absolutely. We're always focused on academic achievement and increasing our graduation rates, which there's been a tremendous amount of work over the past few years in spite of the pandemic. Moving those forward. We are always looking at ways we can improve our facilities, especially since, as we talked about, some of those are aging. And, you know, throughout the years with budget cuts, there were a lot of times that maintenance was deferred, and that catches up with you eventually. So we're trying to really be mindful of that and plan around that. We have short-term and long-range goals for those as well.
What are some of the things that your board is working on right now?
Well, facilities is a hot topic for them, especially since our most recent bond did not pass. So we are looking at what are the alternatives to still meet our goals as far as building the secure entry vestibules, enclosing walkways. They just approved, and we have just recently hired a new SRO for the district, which this is the first time in many, many years that South Umpqua has had an SRO on staff. So we're very excited about that, and the board is looking forward to that.
And are they starting fairly soon?
Tuesday, as a matter of fact.
And what kind of explain, because everybody does it a bit differently, what will their role be for your district?
Sure. Well, a school resource officer primarily is there to provide guidance to our students and our families, can be in law-related issues, as well as just general support to meet the needs of our students so that they can be successful while they're in our buildings and in our community. Our SRO will primarily be based out of the high school. We'll spend a lot of time there with high school kids, but we'll also be out in our other four facilities throughout the week, helping with parent drop-off and pickup and walking the halls and just getting to know all of our kids.
Superintendent Kate McLaughlin of the South Umpqua School District, just about ready to wrap up and again give folks the football information they might need.
Oh, yes. So we are very happy to welcome Phoenix to South Umpqua Kent Weigel Stadium tonight for the first football game of the year for us. And I wish I could tell you what time that started, but I don't remember offhand.
Probably about 7.
So. Probably.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.